How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today.
I don't know what that is, other than it's not Muslim, it's not Christian, it is a perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ as most Christians know it.
I have no evidence that would guide me as to what Glenn Beck would have any genuine knowledge as to what the president does or does not believe.
How easily Christians confuse a general conservatism with Orthodox Christianity. The two are not the same thing at all.
We're going to burn the Quran. We do believe the book is evil, it's bad, it's against the Bible, it's against God.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
We live in it every day. We cannot imagine ourselves or anything apart from it. We are part of it, and we exist because God created all things. When we talk about creation, we're not just talking about this planet or some state of being before the world all went terribly wrong because of our sin. We are talking about the whole universe as it continues to exist even now, all held together, the Bible tells us, from beginning until its end, by the powerful word of God. It was with his word that he made everything that there is and continues to be. And we're going to be talking about God's creation of Adam and Eve, that special creation that comes at the crowning moment of those 6 days wherein God made everything that there is, everything that is seen and unseen. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us for the first half hour of this Tuesday afternoon's Issues, Etc., September the 7th. We are coming to you live. In about 25 minutes, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa will join us. We're going to be continuing a multi-part series with him that we've been doing on the apocalyptic anxiety of Pop American Christianity today, literalism versus a literal approach to biblical interpretation. There is a difference there. We'll also talk about the false dichotomy that is created. Or actually, how should we say this? Yeah, it is a false dichotomy in terms of salvation between Israel and the church. And then the confusion of Israel and the church in dispensationalism. That's Dr. Alfonso Espinosa with us in about a half hour. And then the whole second hour of the program on this Tuesday afternoon will spend with Pastor Peter Bender, part two of a five-part daily series on the Apostles' Creed. We'll revisit a little bit what we're talking about here in the first half hour of the program. We'll be talking about creation and preservation, how God has made all things and still preserves all things. Our Apostles' Creed series continues in about an hour here. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, Twitter us @issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page and leave your questions and comments on God's creation and preservation there for the second hour of the program, facebook.com/issuesetc. If you're not already a fan, become a fan, facebook.com/issuesetc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing well. It's a easy thing to do, especially as the seasons turn as they are all over now toward more, good weather. Things seem beautiful. I was standing out in my yard yesterday, even after a hard day's work of mowing the grass and doing everything, and just thinking, this is just beautiful. How is it, in little ways and big, Pam, that we worship the creature, the creation, rather than the creator?
Oh, you know, we do that, not knowingly as children of God, but I think you're right, in little and big ways. We live in a culture that's so the non-Christian culture that really looks almost to nature and to creation as a God itself, the whole Mother Nature thing, even the environmental movement, which puts us in subservient ways to the creation, to the world, making us think we have to save the world, that the created things are more important than the highest created being, man, so that we end up worshiping an animal that's close to extinction and putting maybe a human out of work or causing people to have to move or losing their livelihood because we've put the creation up high and put ourselves as the creation, made ourselves to be God, having the sense that we have to somehow fix this world and fix what's broken, save the earth. That's all a sign of worshiping the creation rather than the creator. It's upside down, and it's so pervasive in our society. In children's cartoons, in commercials, in TV shows, magazine ads, you name it, it's everywhere in our culture.
And the children are especially exposed to this.
Yes.
And perhaps with the best of intentions, what kind of false ideas are they likely already carrying around about creation and our place in it?
Oh, I think there's a lot of things. It, you know, it's taught as fact in public schools that evolution is how this world came to be. Even amongst some Christians, I believe in the Roman Catholic churches and schools, the six-day creation is questioned, and there's sort of a fusion between evolutionary thinking and what the Bible says about creation, so that you hear things, and our children are hearing things in schools and in the things that they read, that question, well, was it a 24-hour day? Was it six 24-hour days? Or, well, first there was the Big Bang and then other things happened. I mean, there's such a blur about creation, and it's one of the reasons why we're covering it in Sunday school. You know, a lot of people might say, goodness, you know, the creation story again, we talked about it last week, now you're going to go into the second chapter of Genesis, and don't we already know this? Well, we should know it, but the voices of this sinful world and how they paint how this world came to be scream often much louder then we let the Word of God shout into our ears. And so we've got to review. This is fundamental. Who is God? What he did from the very beginning, creating this world with his Word, out of nothing, out of formlessness, out of a void, and giving us a world to live in, creating humanity, creating everything that we can see and experience. And then, as we confess in the first article of the Creed, in the explanation, richly and daily providing for us in this world. That we don't hear on a daily basis. In fact, we hear everything to the opposite of that.
The special creation is, of course, of Adam and Eve on that sixth day. And it is given special place, not only in the narratives of creation, but in all of biblical theology. What's different when God makes Adam and Eve than when he's making anything and everything else?
Well, it's incredible. And the first thing that's different is that, yes, in Genesis chapter 1, we hear about God creating them, but God takes time in Genesis chapter 2 through the writing of Moses to really lay out what happened with Adam and Eve. And the name Adam means earth. And when you think about that, that really points to the material aspect to the humanity, created out of the dust of the earth, specially formed. And what is unique to man alone, to humanity, is that God breathed into him his breath, his spirit, and made Adam a living being, and in that gave him fellowship with God. No other creature that was created had God's spirit breath breathed into him. They were simply created with a word, but with Adam, God spoke him into creation and breathed his life into them. And then, of course, in the creating of Eve, she was made from the bone of Adam, from his rib, and was formed to be his helper, to be his mate in life, and that she comes from him underscores that he needs to care for her as he would care for his own flesh. And this is unique to the creation of mankind, unlike all the other creatures.
It's the term that is used there that is carried in some ways through all of the Bible is the image of God. When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about what it means that Adam and Eve carried originally the image of God, that they in some sense lost that image of God when they fell into sin, and yet we still retain it. We could still talk about man bearing the image of God, because the Bible, of course, continues to talk about man bearing the image of God, and then the image of God that is restored in Jesus Christ. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Genesis 1, the creation of Adam and Eve, is our text. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about God creating Adam and Eve. The term that's used is image of God, Pam. How would you explain that?
Well, let's divide it into three aspects here. The first one being that the image of God is righteousness, perfect righteousness, being completely without sin. Just as God is without sin, so humankind, Adam and Eve, were created sinless and righteous. But of course we know that they did sin, and in doing so they completely lost the righteousness that they had originally from being in God's creation. Now every human is born with original sin. They're born in this sinful condition. We're inherently guilty and without righteousness. That's why we need a Savior. That's why God sends His Son, the image of the invisible God. Colossians tells us Christ comes to be one of us, to live the perfect, righteous life that we could not. So there's that one aspect in the image of God, created to be righteous, sinless. A second aspect is the idea of dominion, God giving us control and rule, lordship over the creation. You know, if you look at Genesis 1:26 carefully, there's a connection between humankind and being created in God's image and this command for us to rule over the world. Well, we are given this, and in a perfect, righteous way, we would be good rulers or lords like God, having only the best interests of those that we are lords over, the subjects, being kind, fair, merciful. Think about all the ways that God cares for us as our Lord, as our King, providing us, serving us with His gifts. The problem is sin in us changes that dominion to domination. And it's a broken thing where we think that we have to bring everything into slavery for our own purposes. That's how sin twists this command and gift that God gives us to have dominion over the world. And then the third aspect of the image of God is that, you know, we talked about this earlier, that we have the breath of life from God. In the Nicene Creed, we confess that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. Here we're talking about that same Holy Spirit in the creation story, where the breath of God is breathed in, given to the lump of dirt, a man is formed. When the Holy Spirit breathes, He gives life. And that's something we want to underscore in all our teaching to the children, and that the fact that the Holy Spirit, along with God the Father and God the Son, were present here. But because the Holy Spirit guided the writers of the Bible, we have that active living word written down for us, Genesis and all of Scripture. So you have those three aspects, righteousness, dominion, and the breath of life from God that get to are being created in the image of God.
So when it is lost by Adam and Eve, I mean, something so profound, it hardly seems right to ask such a question with only a few minutes left. But when it is lost, what is lost? And when it's restored in Jesus Christ, what's restored?
Well, we lose our connection with God. When we're born now into our sinfulness, into original sin, which we have inherent guilt, that image is broken. God sends His Son, and that's how it's restored. Christ becomes our righteousness. He becomes the righteousness by His life, His suffering and death, that we could no longer do, and He makes us righteous again, and He restores that image, so that when God looks at us, because we are in Christ, by virtue of faith, by virtue of being in the family of God, when God looks at us, He doesn't see our sin, He sees the righteousness of Christ, and that image is restored. We have the image of God through faith in Christ. when we talk about the dominion and the domination, Jesus Christ forgives us for our sins of dominating the world. And in that forgiveness, again, we are restored to God the Father, restored to His image because of Christ. And it is Christ who breathes the Holy Spirit on the disciples, giving them authority to forgive sins, granting that to the church. It is God in Christ through the Holy Spirit that grants us all of His good things in the Word, in the sacraments, the life of God, the breath of life restored to us, reconnecting us with our Heavenly Father. And all of this, not because of us, because we could never measure up, but because of Christ and what he did and does for us.
So then, what is our relationship now? As creatures who have been restored to God, restored to the image of God, and in at least in some sense, restored to this fallen creation, awaiting, obviously, the new heavens and the new earth. What is our place?
Our place is to live in this world that God gives us, to care for the creation that He gives us, to live lives of repentance, lives of trust in a God who promises to provide for us, who has provided for us eternally through His Son. And knowing that His promise is sure and certain, then we can live not worrying about ourselves, not making ourselves God, selfishly so, and ordering our lives for our good, because God's already done that. We now can look outside ourselves and in the things that God gives us to do, in the people He places in our lives, we can care for others because God is caring for us. And in that, in our vocations, in our callings in life, God works through us as if we are His hands, His masks in this world, to make good on that promise, to richly and daily provide all that we need for this body and life. And it's a beautiful thing. We don't have to worry. God's got us covered. We can care for our neighbor and enjoy the blessings of creation and get on our knees each night, thank God for those blessings, repent of our sins, and trust that because of His Son Jesus, one day we will be restored completely in body and soul in an eternal paradise where there is a new heaven and earth, no more sin and no more sorrow. And that is all what God is doing and working for us.
Then, with only about a minute and a half or so here, let's talk about one other thing that is deeply profound about that creation account of Adam and Eve, and that is God's good institution of marriage. What would you say by way of summary to the kids about marriage, even though they're years away from it?
Wow. Well, it's a wonderful opportunity to talk about this understanding of God creating Eve out of Adam, taking his rib and creating a helper, and to go over this text carefully. It's a beautiful text to read to children. It's written very straightforward, so you don't have to summarize it too much. You can really just read it. But talk about how no helper was suitable amongst all the created beings for Adam. God looked and determined there's no suitable helper. And so He created especially, by design, the woman, Eve, and He created her out of Adam, putting him to sleep, taking that rib, and forming her body so that she would be part of him and that he would care for her as he cares for himself. So, you know, when if you want to, with the older children, talk about why we don't believe in homosexuality as being God-ordained or in any way the right way to live, it's because when God said man, Adam needed a helper, He created a woman. So there's a really profound, very clear testimony there to that. But just the beauty of the two shall become one. God made it that way from the rib, and how they care for each other, She helps him. He cares for her. And they operate as one. And that's the ideal. And then you can make the leap with the older children especially, that this is the model that Christ sets up for us between Christ as the groom, as the new Adam, and the church, the bride. Beautiful connection there, and the way to bring Christ into this. That's the model for the church and for our human marriages.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. You can find out about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You'll find a link to Growing in Christ. Or call Concordia Publishing House and ask about Growing in Christ. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Thanks, Pam.
Thank you. Have a great week.
When we come back, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa is going to join us. We'll pick up part three of a six-part series with him on the apocalyptic anxiety of pop American Christianity. Today we'll talk about whether you're reading your Bible literally or literalistically. We'll also talk about Israel and the church.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of issues, etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The Obama administration was the center of controversy, this time for what it refused to do. Your tax dollars paid for abstinence research on 1,000 kids and their parents. Summary showed the attitudes of parents who promote abstinence are central to influencing how teens act regarding sex outside marriage. Behavioral scientists saw this information as hugely beneficial to society, but the Department of Health and Human Services refused to release key data. Even a Freedom of Information Act request couldn't shake it loose because it directly conflicted with President Obama's desire to end funding for abstinence and promote so-called safe sex practices, even at the cost of children's health and well-being. But the controversy added more pressure, and Mr. Obama finally gave in.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.